Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. You are in the Wonderland Ballroom, if you're in the room. If you're listening at home, you're somewhere else. This is a talk show. This is a podcast where we talk about fascinating things, fascinating people. That's where it is. It's been a good week. I've done a lot of shows this week. My fiance doesn't hate me. It's perfect. I can't think of a better possible week. I'm in a place I want to be in with people that are here for a reason. I was in a place I wanted to be in on Wednesday night. I was lucky enough to get to host this really awesome benefit for Rare Disease Day, which makes it sound like I'm giving rare diseases to people, but it was the opposite. We raised money. I didn't raise shit. I was just the guy that was there talking in a microphone doing dick jokes. But people liked it. It was really neat. But I heard something I never heard before. Let me preface. The show consisted of six bands and me. I was supposed to make it less awkward between the bands, and I think it did an adequate job. I got to do this awesome thing, and it was at this place called The Dunes. And The Dunes is this really neat performance space, and it does a lot of different type of performance stuff, except comedy. And that's an important part of the story. It was a benefit show, right? So rather than just you pay your door cover and hopefully the band doesn't suck, so hopefully they can sell a 7-inch... This was a situation where every dollar counts, right? So the owner or somebody that works at the bar was I'm buying a bottle of whiskey for the entire room, free shots for everybody. What a cool dude! This dude bought a bottle of whiskey, spent $300 in terms of cost, but he probably spent 20, but anyways. That's 40 shots. He bought the crowd 40 shots. And I was shocked. It's why would anybody ever do this other than to get acceptance and stuff? And I totally get that. I'm the guy talking about my dick in front of people with I brought this light that's shining on me. I'm not confident in what I do. So I get that. I understand the idea of buying shots for people. An hour later, I'm doing my little song and dance bullshit, and I'm talking about Mr. Rogers, and I'm actually doing really well. This is not a joke. People are laughing. Really pretty women are laughing at what I'm saying intentionally. That's very rare. And I was soaking it in. And we needed more time to go because the band from Brooklyn was setting up. And even when you're a three-piece from Brooklyn, that requires at least a 30-minute setup because you got to go shop for vintage boots or something. So we had to kill even more time. And I'm completely out of material. But luckily, our sound guy that night, Johnny Gray, really cool dude, he's been on the show before. He actually has a sense of humor. So we start going back and forth. We're playing. We're having fun. We're making jokes to each other. We're getting more pretty women to laugh at different reasons. It's fantastic. All of a sudden, the guy at the bar, in the midst of killing, something I never do, yells, "Hurry it up!" And I think about this. I go, fine. Within 30 seconds, I'm done. I don't care. Let's just have 15 minutes of awkward silence rather than people smiling and laughing and enjoying it. No. So I just wrap it up, because fuck it, it's not worth it. If there's one guy that's yelling, and he's the owner of the establishment, it's not going to go well. So I walk away, and I have to leave, and I meet the other owner at the bar, and she goes, "You know what? That guy just doesn't like comedy." I've never heard that in the existence of life. He doesn't like comedy! So I broke this down in my skull. If you don't like comedy, and you don't like the idea of people laughing, specifically pretty girls, of course you're going to buy everyone in the establishment whiskey. Because you want just white noise perpetrating your skull nonstop. Just that's better than, hey, well, what about this thought? No! How dare you make me think about anything? And how dare you make that pretty girl laugh without buying a bottle of whiskey for everyone? So this is what I've learned in life. The people that I respect the most in comedy, the people I respect the most in rock and roll and film, the people that are on this show... We have a great show tonight. These are people that use their words and ideas to get somewhere in life. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a bartender. There's nothing wrong with selling booze. I did it for a lot of years. I had a great time doing it. But I've never heard of anybody saying, "I don't like the idea of laughter." So with that in mind, hopefully none of you hate the idea of laughter, because we have an amazing lineup tonight. We have SM Shrake. He's part of Story League. Put your hands together for SM, everybody. We have stand-up comedy from Courtney Farrington. He's a DC regular. He's a great guy. We have music from Margaret Wassoff. I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly. I know I'm not. Ruth Rasby's the co-host. We have half of the band set up, but the whole band is here. So on that note, Nathan, take it away for 10 seconds. Cover your ears. How are your ears, Ruth?
They're They're ringing a little bit, I'm not going to lie.
That's the first of like seven times that's going to happen tonight.
I know. I kind of always feel ostracized all the way on this side of the stage. I mean, the last time I co-hosted, you just kind of forgot about me over here. In front of the drums, it's like suffrage never happened. Still fucking suffering.
I think you started pretty fucking strong just now, so well, I can't ignore you tonight.
I will menstruate all over this sausage fest. Don't worry about it.
How is this a sausage fest?
Do you know what sausage fest means? Are there other female voices on this?
Yeah, on this show tonight there is.
Oh, I'm sorry. Adam Friedman? I didn't know that.
Alan Rickman's here, everybody. Oh. No, but the reason why Ruth is the co-host for this evening is because I find her extremely funny, and I don't think you're bitter or jaded enough to like hate what you do. You're a stand-up, but you're essentially a new stand-up.
I'm pretty enthusiastic. I don't know. I was raised Catholic, but I just never understood what flaw meant, so I'm happy. Yeah, I was like, I don't know what you mean. I'm a flawed being. Doubt it.
But you're also a stand-up, and you were telling me before the show things aren't going as well as you'd like them to go.
Well, yeah. No, I've been bombing, actually. I broke my... I didn't get to finish my story. I did break my bombing streak, but it was like... It was a week and a half of like pretty much just bombing, not thinking of new material, and nobody laughing at it, going for personal stories, and nobody relating.
Have you learned anything from that experience?
Yeah, actually.
What have you learned?
Yeah, you... I don't believe in learning, actually. That's
so
what
you
I learned
are a Catholic.
Situation.
You're still a Catholic.
Yeah.
You're a Penn State football fan.
Well, I mean, obviously I love football.
That's right. You have those blue glasses on. You got some proud Nittany Lion pride up
by
in here.
By football, we're talking about the sport where they have a lot of different colors on their jerseys, and they wear, like, shin guards, and they run around.
Nope,
and
soccer.
The Argentinians are really dramatic.
Yes. Yep.
Wrong. Sorry.
I like you a lot, Ruth.
Thanks.
Yeah,
thanks.
I know. You're pretty good. You're pretty good. You're getting better.
I'm bombing, so like you get nowhere to go but up.
You got more laughs than me. That's really what matters. Even the drum. Well, the drummer's an asshole, so it doesn't matter. But yeah. I'm so glad you're here tonight.
Thank you.
I'll do my best to not exclude you for the evening.
Oh, thanks.
I only have had like a half of one drink thus far.
Okay, that's cool. So.
So I don't know what that even means.
Well, I've had one and like. A fifth, so maybe I'll just break in.
What are you drinking?
A whiskey and Coke.
See, that's how I know you're not like a weathered comic, because soon that will just be like whiskey and ginger. Then it'll be whiskey and club soda. Then it'll be whiskey, because that's how it works. I'm on the whiskey and club soda level. I'm not a real comic.
I thought it was distilled down to Coke on the other side. Like
cocaine?
Yeah. I mean...
Well, that has nothing to do with the booze. I know a lot of people that are quote-unquote straight edge that love Coke, so no, it's different. That's just a good performer. It's not exclusive to comedy. It's what fuels our show, actually.
Oh, okay.
We're NPR ready, is what I'm saying.
I feel like you're telling dick jokes right now. I can't really relate.
Why don't you open with another menstruation joke and see how it goes?
Yeah, menstruation!
Speaking of menstruation, our first guest of the night is someone I've wanted to have on the show a very, very long time. He's performed at 8x8. And more importantly, he's made me excited to see people talk into microphones again, and I don't think that's an easy thing to do. And the good thing about him is he loves praise and is completely vain. So, ladies and gentlemen, give him your ears, give him your eyes, play him on, gentlemen, S.M. Schrake!
DC, I love you. I love seeing you. Mwah. I love you so much right now. Listen, I have a choice, a multiple choice for you, okay? I want you to pick a story for me to tell you. A story. It sounds so lame. It's not going to be lame. And it's going to take like 2 minutes, okay? Three choices. Do you want to hear about Barbara Streisand? Listen to the three choices first. Hold your applause. Barbara Streisand, Etta James, or Aretha Franklin?
Etta James.
Oh, you want to hear about Aretha Franklin?
No!
Aretha it is. And 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 Brandon, you are allowed to. Brandon is allowed to interrupt me three times. Three times during this spiel, okay? With a question that hopefully will make it more interesting or whatever. You guys are making me nervous. Shh. What? I'm allowed to do that.
It's not going to work.
All right, so since we're going to talk about Aretha Franklin, I want to tell you March 21st at Busboys and Poets, the flagship location at 14th and V. We're doing one of our story contests, and the theme is divas. So Aretha Franklin has been in the news recently, right? Because her goddaughter, Whitney Houston, went home to the Lord. And apparently Aretha skipped out on the funeral or something. She was supposed to sing, and then she didn't show up. And I thought, Aretha sometimes has a bit of an attitude. I'm from Detroit, and so is Aretha. We're both Detroiters, okay? In fact, we're both going to be buried in the same graveyard, and we already have gravestones there. But I'm getting ahead of the story. Aretha Franklin is kind of a jerk sometimes. And I remember back in about 1999, my brother sent me an article. He still lived in Detroit, and I didn't. And the article was clipped out of the newspaper, and it said, the headline was, "Why won't Aretha pay her bills?" Yikes. And it's this long explanation about how Aretha stiffs everyone in Detroit. And everyone in Detroit has an Aretha story. Now, so I grew up kind of in the neighborhood of her, but I had never met her. So rewind to the early 90s. I was in my late 30s. So Aretha's only about 10 years older than me. Yeah. Fuck you. You're supposed to laugh at that. You're supposed to reject it out of hand that I'm 58. Jeez. Anyway.
Wait, stop.
What?
This counts as one. Even with that math, you're not 58. You'd be like 52.
No, Aretha's...
You said late 30s in the late 90s.
I'm going to go into the light now.
Audio podcast. My light. Audio podcast.
Oh, I'm not supposed to refer to anything.
Go nuts. I don't care. I'm just
anyway,
telling you.
Anyway, so.
That counts as one.
I'm in my late 30s, and I'm working at a bookstore, one of the big box bookstores. It begins with B. One of the two. So I'm a loser working in a bookstore in my late 30s, and I knew that Aretha was a customer of this bookstore, but I had never seen her myself. But my friend Paul had seen her, and he said, well, sometimes when she comes in, she looks like a star. And other times, not so much, you know? And he also said that he had witnessed something where she was trying to pay for her big stack of books, and they were mostly cookbooks. And she didn't have enough money, so she sent her assistant out to the limo driver for him to come in with his money. So he puts all his money on the counter, and the assistant puts all her money on the counter, and Aretha, and they still didn't really have enough, so she had to put some of the books back. This is Aretha Franklin. Do you guys even know who that is? You're a little young and a little straight.
Wait, stop.
You know, when you get away with that.
Stop here. Oh, okay. This counts as number two. Why is Aretha Franklin... Aretha Franklin's not a gay performer. Besides Pink Cadillac, she doesn't have one gay-friendly song.
She's anorexic.
No, the opposite. She's the... Thank you. She's the reason I'll never quit smoking.
She smoked.
She smoked, and what happened?
She blew her voice out. But anyway.
She blew a lot of stuff out.
That was two.
So I'm standing behind the counter and one day, minding my own business, like playing with the cash register, and someone said, "She's here." And I said, "Where?" And they pointed over in the magazine section, you know, the big magazine section. And there she is. She's about my height, which all famous people are. All famous people. No, that's not true. Some are shorter even. But so this was in the early 90s, right? And she was wearing a World Cup t-shirt. And in fact, get it? On TV, they looked like watermelons, but in real life, it was more cantaloupe territory. And there was a little bit of food stains on the t-shirt. Hey, big deal. She's the queen of soul, right? The queen of England eats out of Tupperware in Buckingham Palace, I've heard, according to one Buckingham Palace expose. No. So she's looking at, I later came to find out she was looking at out-of-town newspapers for articles about herself. It's like Google circa 1994, right? She's Googling herself in the magazine section. I thought, that's cool. So she comes over to the desk, and I said, get away, everyone, get away. She's mine. This is my customer. Hello. But it was important to me at the same time not to let her know that I knew who she was. So she said, I'm looking for that new book by Alice Walker about Africa. I said, and there was a book that was called Possessing the Secret of Joy about female ritual circumcision, female circumcision. But I couldn't bring myself to say that to Aretha Franklin. So I said, you mean the one about female mutilation? She's like, no, the one about Africa. So we go out into the store looking for the book. And I'm thinking, I'm with Aretha Franklin. She's got a little, short salt and pepper afro, no wig, of course. And the whole time I'm thinking, wow, you know, this is my one chance to talk to her. So I don't want to play the star fucker and be an idiot. So we can't find that book. We find some cookbooks, and we go back up to the registers. And she says, how much do you people make here? And while I'm thinking about it, she says, because my son applied for a job here. Did you know that? And I said, no, I didn't. She said, his name is Calf, which is spelled K-E-C-A-L-F, I later found out. I said, we're not allowed to tell. And she said, she gave me this, you know, come on gesture. I said, 525. She said, that's good enough for him. So it came time to pay, and she used traveler's checks. Remember, Aretha, why doesn't Aretha pay her bills? She had all these traveler's checks, which that's fair, that's like cash. And she's writing them out one by one, and I said, hey, as long as you're signing things. And I went and I grabbed this postcard that had her face on it. And she said, where'd you get this? They're not allowed to sell this. And we went on this back and forth. But she gave me an autograph. And I was thrilled. And I looked at her and I thought, this is the woman that sang Amazing Grace. And that voice came out of this body.
Stop!
Amazing Grace is your reference for Aretha Franklin?
Mm-hmm.
A song that only she has ever sung. She's known for that Motown Amazing Grace take that we've all grown up with.
Anyway.
You open this box, man.
I know. I don't have anything to say. Do you want me to sing Amazing Grace?
No.
Hit it. Yeah. No. So anyway, I'll move it along. Basically, I got my autograph, and I got several extra autographs for friends and family members. And I was excited that I had an Aretha story now, like everyone else. So a couple weeks later, the manager of the store comes up to me and says, hey, let me show you something. And she has this mischievous grin. And she shows me this letter. And I'm looking at it, and the letter says, it has a list of names, John Smith, Ron Wood, all the Rolling Stones. Yeah, no, you're out of questions. And Aretha Franklin. And I look up at the top of the letter, and it says, do not accept checks from these people. So I found out, I mean, she paid me, she used traveler's checks, but I guess she does have a little problem. So I feel like because she skipped out on Whitney's funeral, it's okay for me to tell this embarrassing Aretha Franklin story to all of you lovely little people. Hi, Ruth. So that's my Aretha story.
Very good. Very, very good. Want to sit down?
Not bad, sure.
Ruth, come back up here.
Hi, Ruth.
I want to make it clear to the people in the room, I wasn't kicking Ruth off the stage like, get the fuck, you're done. No, she said she wanted to see you from the audience's perspective.
Why? I look fatter from down there.
I don't know. I'd never seen you perform. Like, I watched your YouTube videos, you seem like a good storyteller, and I didn't want to watch your ass.
How much do I love this chick right now?
Hey, it's
very
sexist.
Popular.
That's sexist, buddy.
How much
Calm
do
down.
I love you? I can say it.
Why?
I'm post-gay.
So? So does that mean asexual?
Yeah.
You're post-gay, like post-cereal?
You got it, baby.
Oh.
Oh.
I thought, because Ruth's post-gay.
I describe it in a lot of different ways.
You left the life?
I lost my gold card. That's true.
Why are you guys going,
why did you high-five her?
None of your business.
Somebody just yelled penis. Speaking of penis.
We switched, really.
Okay, that's great.
I think it was real ballsy for you to plug your show before you even performed.
Yeah.
That's not something a lot of comics do.
It's not a show, you guys. It's a contest. So you can come and perform. I'm going to just stand up in the front again. You can come and compete with your own diva story about whoever you kids like now. Who? Gaga? Sir Gaga or whoever? The chick with a dick.
What's wrong with chicks with dicks?
Nothing. Nothing.
You said it like it's like such a bad thing.
I just don't care for him.
For Gaga?
Yeah.
Why not?
It's too obvious.
Okay, fine.
Wait, I actually just fell in love with Lady Gaga.
I thought you were
well,
beyond
that. She's also, like, have you heard her talk about herself? I don't really like her music, but I listened to her interview on the Howard Stern show.
Okay.
And, I like how she kind of I feel like I know she's not gay, but she's a huge gay icon, and I feel like she resonates with the transgendered crowd in a really strange way. Like, she's not stupid about it.
There you go. What about that?
And, like, you know, I'll...
Challenge that, SM Shrake.
I don't want to talk about it.
What do you want to talk about?
Something fresh, funky fresh. What have you got on your notepad?
Ballsy to plug before your performance. Aretha is why I'm not going to quit smoking. I use that for one of my interruptions, though. Why storytelling? Because you were actually on This American Life before you were a storyteller.
Right.
Which is the opposite of most. So why did you decide to get
into
this?
I did that as a favor for a friend.
Most people help people move. Most people don't appear on the most downloaded podcast of all time.
It is pretty downloaded, isn't it? I heard about that.
Yeah, it's pretty big. You can't play modest,
well,
buddy.
Well, now I'm on your podcast, so I'm sure you'll get a million downloads.
We might.
Just like Ira, what's his name? Ira.
Corolla.
Johnson. Yes, I was on there.
Okay, so we do something that's somewhat similar to you. She's a stand-up. I'm trying to be a talk show host. You're a storyteller. What can we learn from you?
First of all, I'd like to correct you. It's not storyteller anymore. It's story magician. That's the new term, no?
Don't do that.
Why?
It's not funny.
But it's not supposed to be funny. It's like... I pull stories out of the hat.
You pull them out of your real-life experiences. You're a storyteller.
Storyteller.
What's wrong with that?
It sounds like some old woman.
No, it doesn't.
I guess.
Well, story magician kind of sounds like Gandalf fag.
It sounds faggy?
Well, I mean, it just sounds a little...
All right, we'll have to reconsider that.
Emasculating.
So what can we learn besides not calling ourselves story magicians?
Well, I interrupted you. You were in the middle of saying you're a talk show host and she's a stand-up and I'm a story magician. What was your point?
What can we learn from you?
Oh, nothing.
I don't think so. I think that you're able to command the stage in a way that's a lot different than we are. For example, I think you're a lot more comfortable with silence.
Yeah. Yeah, you were talking about bombing before?
Yeah.
You can bomb telling a story and no one really knows or cares, you know? Right? So I want you to know that when you come to do the Story League contest.
Actually,
you're always on.
I saw some of your videos, and you talked about suicide. And, like, people talk about suicide in stand-up, but they usually are like, they make light of it. They're like the funny side of suicide. Yeah, exactly. The hilarious side of suicide that people don't think about all the time when they're killing themselves.
Right.
But, like...
I disagree with the premise. Like, no. People are always thinking about the funny side of suicide while it's happening. That's the only time it's funny to them.
Yeah.
Really?
Shoot the jump! That's funny.
I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, it was a good story, but you don't have any reaction for, like, maybe 5-6 minutes. Like, people are just sitting there listening to you.
I also lost. That was a competition, and I lost.
Well,
I
always... was that a bomb, then? Is that what it looks like when you're bombing?
I don't call it bombing.
What do you call it?
I call it,
Come up with some more magic lingo, buddy. It was going so... Abracadabrine?
Poofing. Pulling.
There you go.
Poofing. Have you guys out there ever bombed? Do you know what it feels like? Jason?
Why would you scream with approval if you have? Doing it now! No, it's not.
Here's my question. Why do we use all this war and death terminology and these tropes like you kill it or you die up there?
Seriously, you want to know?
Yeah.
Because you have to turn off the part of your brain that uses reason and logic, and you do that in the same way in war.
Fight or flight.
Yeah.
That's why you get nervous before you go on, right?
or drunk.
You know why I get why I get nervous? Because when you tell a story, you only get one shot, you know? Same with stand-up, really. Well, no, with stand-up, you could sort of retool and be like, okay.
Yeah, you're not as tied.
This crowd doesn't like racist jokes. This crowd doesn't like feminine jokes, whatever. You can retool. But with the story, it might actually be more difficult to tool around. And so...
Well, you could be a choose-your-own-adventure storyteller.
That's actually not a bad idea. That would be a good contest.
No.
I'm completely serious. No, the three judges... Can I just spit? The three judges get to say, stop, now change your story.
That starts to sound like improv, though, and improv is lamer than storytelling, for sure.
So could we agree with
that? Don't devolve.
So we got a stand-up, a talk show host, and a story magician. Could we all agree that improv is the worst?
Oh, I hate it.
Perfect! That's the best way to end, with mutual hatred. He's got one more question. It's from the Book of Questions, Love and Sex, and I'm excited for you to answer this because the last time you talked about love and sex, it involved
abuse,
domestic abuse. It was delightful.
I'm a domestic abuse survivor, you guys. Clap. For my bravery, I'm a survivor. They'll clap at anything.
You fucking love the lights. Pick a number between 99 and 220.
27.
99 and 220.
127.
Why 27?
It's my lucky number. 3 times 3 times 3. 3 threes.
So? Why? Okay, that...
It's also my birthday, October 27th.
There you go.
What's... So
if your partner were accused of a serious crime and subjugated to a long and humiliating public trial, how loyal and supportive would you be?
What's the crime?
You tell me.
Is it against me?
You tell me.
That's what I'm used to with my partners.
Well, you say things like, I'm a story magician, and what do you think's going to happen? In a way...
Get backhanded.
Okay, so you and I are dating, and I am accused of murder, but...
Whoa. I told you I left all that behind. You're accused of murder?
I'm accused of murder. I'm accused of manslaughter.
Brandon, did you kill her?
Yes, but it was an accident. It was a rainy night. I was in the car, and I lost control.
Don't you love when people ask the criminal that? I asked him, did you kill them?
Like I said yes.
Oh.
But it was an accident.
It was an accident, like Chappaquiddick?
Sure.
I don't think you need your partner's support when you're on trial.
Well, that'll get people to come to your new event. It's on March what?
21st, baby.
At?
9 p.m. at Busboys and Poets.
More information can be found at?
Storyleague.org.
Storyleague.org.
Yeah.
SM is a fantastic man. I am so glad you finally did the show.
I love you, Brandon.
You're an amazing man. Just you're not a story magician because it doesn't make sense. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for SM Shrake. Hey everybody, thanks for listening to the show. I really appreciate it. I'm butting in to let you know that I wrote a weekly column for this website called Brightest Young Things. The name of the column is called Behind the Desk, and it's pretty much whatever is applicable to this talk show or talk shows in general, things that I find fascinating. It goes up once a week at brightestyoungthings.com, and you can find every column at youmethemeverybody.com. So if you haven't been to the website in a while, that's an excuse to go. Once again, it's called Behind the Desk. It's a weekly column I write, and I'd really appreciate it if you gave it a glance. Thanks for listening, and back to the show. Oh, the band. You guys don't know who the band is. Nathan Jurgensen, Ian Graham, Washerwoman, Lenorable. Two great bands. They had their record release show this week. You got some stuff coming up on April 21st. Is that the one at the church? It's going to be at St. Stephen's. It's a benefit show, too. So come on down to... What the fuck am I talking about? Ladies and gentlemen, give him your ears, give him your eyes. Please put your hands together for Courtney Fearington, everybody. Courtney!
What is going on, bar, place, area, people? How you guys doing tonight? You guys doing good? All right. Oh, my gosh. I am recording a talk podcast in a bar that looks like a well-lit version of the place in Lost Boys. This is awesome. I feel like if you'd have told 14-year-old me I'd have been doing this, I'd have stopped masturbating long enough to high-five me. This is cool. Oh, man. I'm happy to be here. I want to talk about this. Any rap fans in the house? Rap fans, rap. Yes, good. You guys, all right. I love rap music, and I love sports, but I hate when rappers and like athletes get in trouble and they go to jail, and all their celebrity friends want to make like campaigns of free this person and free that person. They start making T-shirts and making music videos and telling all their other friends and stickers and websites when they could have saved themselves a lot of money by just going, "Hey man, don't carry a gun to the club." Solved a lot of issues. They'd have never had that problem. All right, don't open with the new jokes anymore. Can we go right into the interview? Fuck, this is not gonna. Okay, whatever.
I don't think it's. Look around, buddy. You said, "Are you fans of rap?" That was out of guilt.
It wasn't. I think it was.
Look at the room, buddy.
Let's just agree with him. He looks tough. Yeah. Sir Mix-a-Lot, all the way. Go.
This is three flannel shirts from a Klan meeting.
I tried to wear mine, and I had to fit in. I was like, what goes well with this bar? Flannel, do that. It's my only flannel shirt I wore tonight. I did, so laugh. Okay. No, I'm joking. It's in the car. Look, I'm almost 30. I have no idea what I want to do with my life. This is what I want to do. Okay. My parents told me this lie growing up, that lie, you can grow up to be anything you want to be. Has everybody heard that before? You can grow up to be anything you want to be. Like, my parents should have understood that I didn't have a full grasp of what they were saying to me, because my immediate response was, cool, I want to be a pirate, let's do this. I'm going to dress like a pirate and say arg in everyone's face. And they're like, all right, fine, you can do that. It wasn't until I was 13 until I realized you can't be a pirate because that consists of rape and crime. And you can't get away with those things unless you're a professional athlete. There's no way to get away with that. Like, I was already 13. I didn't do push-ups to get to the NFL. Like, you got to start early for that shit. I wasn't ready. Like, I wish my parents would have told me this. They should have said, hey, look, you can be anything you want to be. Unless that thing is hard, then... then you'll probably be what you have to. Like, I would have had a full... I would have understood that. No, they sent me to college with this false sense of hope. Like, I'm like, yeah, I could be anything I want to be. I got to my first class. I'm like, I'm going to be an engineer because engineers make a lot of money and they're fucking cool. I got to my engineering class. My professor opened his mouth and I was like, wow, this is hard. Where's communications? Let's do that. That's a lot easier. That's all A's just for listening. Any communication majors in here? No, yeah, we all are successful. We don't do communication. No, I'm at the point now where I'm in the middle of paying student loans back. Student loans, that monkey's on my back. I don't mind paying student loans back because I feel like Sallie Mae knows more about my life than I do. Like when I first owed Sallie Mae money, they called me and they had like a random series of security questions they had to ask me so I can get into my account. And like the first question was, how many brothers and sisters does your father have? And I was just like, who's my father, Sallie Mae? Like, I don't know. Like, I should know that first. Like, can I call you back? This is going to be a hard... Are you from the engineering department? I don't understand. Who sent you? I gave all my student loan money for the first couple of months to familytree.com or whatever the shit is. Trying to find out where I came from. That was so fake. Oh, my God. Oh, my soul is dying slowly right now. You're not helping that. Thanks. No, it's cool. It's cool. I don't like the babies. Anybody here fan got children? No. Okay. Good. 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 I should have wrote a set list. Good. No, because this looked a lot easier in the back when I was like looking at you guys. You guys look ready, and then you. All right. What? That. This is Pat Walsh. The legend? What do you do, Pat Walsh?
He's a professional audience member.
You're a professional audience member.
Generally enthusiastic.
Oh, all right. Well, I just need 25 more of you, and this is going to go amazingly. Fuck. No, okay. So I was talking about, I want to skip through the children part because I don't fucking like kids. I don't. He dropped his drumstick to clap. That is some enthusiasm back there. Like, yeah! Says the guy who probably has a lot of sex with women because he's in a band.
Yep.
Hope I don't have any. Drop the drumsticks. Let's go. No, I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of the children. Like, I feel like there's 7 billion people in the world. I feel like if you can adopt, do that. Like, please, people are selfish. They want to have babies because they look like them. Like, I feel like you should adopt. And if adoption was more sad, it would help people, like, get more kids out of adopt. Oh, like, listen. Listen, no, because they put these commercials on TV with the dogs, and, like, the dogs look all sad, and, you know, they're going to put the dogs to sleep eventually. Like, I think they should pull that same scare tactic with children, and I swear a lot more people would adopt. Like, if you turned your television on, and then some white lady just hustled a little black kid up to the camera and was like, this is Keisha, and Keisha's like, I'm 9, I might not live to see 10, you should come down and adopt some of your children, then insert some Sarah McLachlan, and the commercial goes off. Everyone would have an adopted baby. That's all I'm saying. People get mad at the joke because, like, they think the animal commercial was sad, the ASPCA commercial. It's not sad. It's just in slow motion. Like, animals don't... Animals don't have facial expressions or features, so it's... You slow any animal down, it's gonna look sad. Like, slow the movie Air Bud down. It's gonna look... It's gonna be the saddest movie ever. Like, does Air Bud die or dunk it? I don't understand what this movie is. I don't have any children. I don't want to. Like, here it is. I'm young and irresponsible. Anybody in the house young and irresponsible? Yay. Yes. I'm young and irresponsible to the point like this. Look, the air conditioner in my car has been broken for the last 3 years. And I've had the money to fix the air conditioner in my car for the last 3 years. I just haven't. You know what I have done? Seen Hawaii. That shit was awesome. There was air conditioning there. My car wasn't there. Fuck that thing. Like, I want to spend my money and be reckless. You can't do that and have a baby. I can't have this hot-ass car and have kids in it. Like, I don't want to be the first dad on the news where it's like, baby passes away in a hot car and the dad was still in it. Like, I don't want to be that guy on Channel 4 trying to explain to them that my baby was hydrated when we left the house. Like, I swear to God, I gave him some water. It's hard. Being broken and irresponsible, things like this happen. Like, I lost my cell phone, and I realized losing your cell phone is like getting a girl you hate pregnant. Some people already understand. Listen, this is going to get fucking rough. Losing a cell phone, really. I lost my cell phone after a show one time. After the show was over, I lost my cell phone. It's an iPhone. I have all my information in it. All my jokes are in it. They're uninsurable. I lost my cell phone. I was like, wow, this is like getting a girl I hate pregnant. I cannot afford $500 right now. Oh, my God. Whatever, guys. I'm going to tell that joke forever. Because the people who laugh fucking get it. Then there's always little patches of people in every audience like, why doesn't he have cell phone insurance? Not for that joke, I don't. For that joke, I'm anti-pro cell phone insurance. You get that? I can go a little deeper by going, I was opted in for the early termination plan. Whatever. However you want it. However you want it. That's how you'll get it. All right, is that it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Courtney Fearington, everybody. Sit down, buddy. All right, a few things. I wasn't laughing, I think that the dad bit is very funny.
Okay.
Because I don't know who my dad is.
Oh.
So that wasn't like, he's laughing because it's not going well. No, he gets it. Oh. And I won't pony up the money because fuck it.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Number two.
I do know who my dad is, though.
Well, I don't find you funny anymore.
No, it was a joke. Jokes don't always have to be 100% honesty.
That's why I'm not a joke teller. I'm a story magician. Your parents should have told you if you wanted to be a pirate, you should have been a Minnesota Viking player because they're the best at raping and pillaging.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a truth.
That's on a boat.
That's true. Yeah, yeah. It's about 5 years ago now.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had a rape cruise.
Yeah, they rape cruise.
Really, what it
Donovan was? Donovan McNabb was part of that, wasn't he?
No, that was pre-Favre actually.
Was it?
Yeah.
That would have been.
You don't even know your history of rape cruises in the NFL. You're obviously not a sports fan.
Okay. All right.
You're married.
Yes.
What does she think of this? Or he? I don't know.
What does she think of what?
Stand up. That you do stand up.
She thinks enough of it where she's not here tonight.
But you've been doing this a while.
Yeah.
And if she was,
it didn't look like it, but that's.
if you were, how long have you been doing stand up?
It has been 5 years and a couple of months.
And how long have you been married?
It's 7 years, 2 weeks ago.
So, that's congratulations, buddy. That's awesome. So you were already married when you started doing this.
Yeah.
Why? What is she? What does she think of
no,
this?
No, she encouraged me. She encouraged me. I want to be that cliche guy and say I've wanted to do stand up since I was in junior high school.
You were
elementary school, yeah.
So that makes sense.
It was just I was a huge pussy until a good woman got behind me.
I get it. So you're happily married,
yeah,
and you're doing stand up,
yeah.
Not common.
No, and I don't drink.
I really don't like you anymore.
Yeah, I haven't had a drink ever and been on stage.
Yeah, I know. Have you...
Club sodas, yeah.
What do you think about Ruth and me? She drinks, I obviously
Ruthing
drink.
Ruthing you? I don't want to do that. I have a wife.
Ruth.
Oh, hi.
And me.
Hi, I thought he said Ruthie.
Well, I didn't think a guy named Courtney would make fun of my name.
Yeah. I wasn't making fun of your name. I was making fun of him saying Ruthie, which I thought he said, but okay. Hi,
oh,
Ruth.
Okay.
That's because I have slurred speech because I drink and know how to have fun.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, I mean, I appreciate that you do stand-up and are straight-edge and don't make...
babies.
Know, a lot of people that don't drink and do stand-up are... There's maybe a comic or two who's like, I don't drink. And you're just like, oh, I feel so bad for you. Like, I don't know.
So you feel bad for me?
Oh, I do.
I don't feel bad for you, but it's hard to relate to a bar. You're like, I'm not drinking anymore.
I've drank before. I know how it feels to have alcohol in my body. It's not like I'm weird. Like, I don't know what you guys... You guys are all goofy. I don't understand it.
All right. Well, we can't relate on many things.
I smoke.
Smoke weed?
Yeah.
I find that horribly offensive.
So we're back to being...
Honestly, I've never gotten high. I'm serious.
You've never gotten high.
I've never gotten high.
But you dehydrate your body to the point of...
Having fun, yes.
Okay, all right.
Because I was a bartender and a DJ, and you don't get paid in weed when you DJ and bartend. You get paid in booze and coke.
I was a comic and a weed dealer, so now we can
relate. Oh, no, I get it now.
Yeah.
Do you still deal weed?
No. Oh. Why? You don't smoke it.
Well, I mean, we were at a lot of open mics together. I could bring you some business. Because I think you're funny.
We'll talk.
Okay, cool. We're going to end this interview with a question from the Book of Questions, Love and Sex by Gregory Stock, PhD, a truly awful book. I need you to pick a number between 99 and 220.
219.
219. Why 219?
I don't know.
Perfect. 219. Have you ever loved someone you didn't respect? If so, did it make you respect yourself any less?
Did I ever love someone I didn't respect? No.
Perfect.
I hate a lot of people.
Who do you hate, number one?
Everybody.
No, you don't hate everybody. You like your wife sometimes.
No, bro.
You don't like your wife?
No.
What's her name and address?
No, I do.
Oh, that's nice.
Wait. So you know that joke about how getting a girl you hate pregnant? That's not about your wife, is it?
No, she's. I don't have any kids.
Okay, she's just checking.
Seven.
Is that why she doesn't come to the shows?
No, 7 years, no kids. I make sure I keep.
You just made a punching motion.
I keep all my. Yeah, that's it. You better not fucking get pregnant. That's what I.
Well, you can't get someone pregnant fisting them, so that's a nice contraception.
Hey, kids, if you take away anything from night,
that's true.
You can't get someone pregnant
from fisting them.
There you go.
That's true.
Put your hands together for Courtney Farrington, everybody.
Wondering who designed the artwork for this podcast? Gig Posters by Rich created the neat art for this show and a bunch of our past live shows. You can view all artwork online at gigpostersbyrich.com. Thanks for listening, and now back to the show.
This is a podcast, which means it's going to be released on the internet, which means people with smartphones are going to download it. And not a lot of people know about smartphones, so I wanted to bring up a person I just met. He's going to tell us all about this new great technology. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Adam Friedland, everybody.
I want to tell... Can we start again?
Yeah, yeah.
Can you cut it?
Could you play it? You want
to
play again?
Can we do the music again? I want to tell you guys about a new project. Oh, can we...
Yeah,
one more
time. Yeah.
I want to tell you guys about a new product called the iPhone 4. The iPhone 4 is the new phone from Apple Computers. It's got everything. It's got cell phone, text message, and it also has the internet. You can do whatever you want with the iPhone 4. Your touch is your command. The iPhone 4 is the model that I have. There is also a model called iPhone 4S. That is the best model. I have the second best model. If you want to find me, you can hit me with some text messages. And then I will text you back wherever I am, I promise, as your friend. You might be wondering, does it have YouTube? Yeah, it has YouTube. I think so. Yeah, I think it has YouTube. I can watch YouTube wherever I want. On the bus, when I'm at work taking shits. I can watch videos where people on the news accidentally say faggot. It's great. But the YouTube works better. Remember, it works better if you're connected to Wi-Fi. So you might want to connect to Wi-Fi if you're going to use YouTube on the iPhone 4. My friends are always like, hey, Adam, stop looking at your cell phone. Stop text messaging all the time. Just be with us. Just be with us. Why are you text messaging all the time? And I'm like, don't bother me, guys. I'm doing stuff, okay? Because you could do whatever you want on the iPhone 4. You could get games if you want. Tons of games. Sometimes people are like, hey, man, are you playing Angry Bird? And I said, no, man. I'm playing Angry Bird when I had the iPhone 3G. Now I have the iPhone 4G, and I play Justin Bieber boogie boarding. You could go boogieing with Justin, hit the waves. It's like being at the day at the beach. The iPhone 4 comes equipped with an excellent digital camera. In fact, it is of 8 megapixels quality. It is of 8 megapixels in quality. But if you don't want to be a dick, you can put your pictures into an application that makes them look shittier. Because who really wants to fully utilize technology? You know, technology is not going to really play that big a role in the future. Right, guys? Seriously? Are you serious? This phone is amazing. You can do so much with it. You like Twitter? Do you like Twitter? Thanks for your response. Yeah, iPhone 4 has got you covered. If someone funny dies, you could just go on Twitter and be snarky about it. Oh, hey, Macho Man Randy Savage died today. Oh, man, I guess he stepped into Slim Jim. At reply, tag it, retweet. Then it could go viral. You have the power of viruses on your phone. Since I got iPhone 4, my life has changed immensely. I've had all new opportunities. I've made new friends. I'd encourage all of you here today to check out this new invention from Apple Inc., which is a great company. And you guys would, if you're looking on the market, they got data plans with all the major carriers. Make it an iPhone 4. Thanks.
Adam Freeland, everybody. Oh, you wanna do an interview?
I thought that everyone else got interviewed, so I
didn't plan an interview for you. I'm sorry. I thought your speech was very thoughtful and informative.
I thought this was a commercial break.
Oh no, it's. Well, I guess, do you work for Apple?
No, I'm not affiliated with them whatsoever. Their product has changed my life.
What did you do before your Apple iPhone 4G?
Before I had it, I had a phone called Nokia. I used to have Velcro on the back of my phone, and then Velcro on the other side to my iPod. But the good folks at Apple have put it all in one device, one console, the iPhone. I, in fact, called it an iPhone even before Apple came up with it. I wrote Steve Jobs a letter. He gave me a court injunction. I didn't say anything else.
But now that he's passed away, you could talk about the iPhone.
What?
You didn't hear that Steve Jobs passed away?
Are you fucking kidding me?
No. I know you know about...
Did you go on Twitter and be snarky about
it? No, I didn't. I saw some people were snarky about it. Yeah, you didn't know that? I'm sorry.
All right, this interview is over.
Okay.
Thanks.
Adam Friedland, everybody.
You, Me, Them, Everybody wants to thank you for listening and also for subscribing to us on iTunes. We can always use the extra support, though. So why don't you say something nice about us on iTunes? Go ahead, give us a 5-star rating. This type of thing helps us out a lot and doesn't cost you a dime. Thanks again for listening, and now back to the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, give her your ears, give her your eyes, please put your hands together for Margaret Wassoff, everybody. Margaret!
Hello. I'm going to play you guys some originals this evening. First song is called Beach Glass. Well, I wonder where those broken bottles went. The ones that the has-beens broke and bent. Well, the fans all stopped there cheering and the work got slow. There's an old man singing karaoke too. Song you. Been through the mill and tumbled round, you've got a little more shine. Some liked you in your younger days, a bit rough to the touch, but I see what we've been missing. Too much. Take the whiskey to the shoreline, drink it in. Drink the sunrise while you're at it, set yourself a spin. Launch the bottle into the ocean and let it sink into its watery den. You're just beach glass, baby. You're coming out fine. Though you've been through. You in your younger days a bit rough to the touch, but I see what we've been missing is, but I see what we've been missing. thinking in circles, and I am tired thinking in curves, because this thinking has caused some exhaustion on my otherwise tireless nerves. If the world would go flat, I'd be happy. If my dreams were just sequencing time, if I could get to a point without rambling or tell a joke before delivering the punchline. It's the year of linear thinking. It's the year of the straight and narrow. It's the year you could pierce my thoughts with your rusty bow and arrow. You're not in my linear thinking. You're a meandering walk in the blue. You were teardrops, sadness, and otherwise. Tangled in you. In the air of linear thinking, there's no looking back or ahead. It's a step at a time and no step out of line. It's a place to rest your head. It's the year of linear thinking. It's the year of the straight and narrow. It's the year you could pierce my thoughts with your rusty bow and arrow. In the year of linear thinking, it's a night of soundless sleeping, or a starry night above, without yearning for your love. It's the year of linear.
My set list. This is what an iPhone is great for. It's a little notepad series. Yeah, it's the four. So from one song to another, I can't remember what song I'm playing next. So this thing is really helping me out here. Original, it's called Take the Old Boy Down to Tennessee.
They Late night, cold night, headed down south with an old dog in the backseat. Biding time for the long ride, those sad eyes, old boy. It's gonna be the end of you, the end of us, the end of a long, 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 long road. Mountains, valleys, on our way to Tennessee, the rock slide. Won't slow this ride, I wish for just a little more time with you. Oh, my friend, do you know what's in it for you? The ground's gonna be so cold, we gotta dig deep. We're chipping icy dirt up to our knees, and you're wagging your tail for the last time like a last heartbeat. Whoa, boy, don't you know I'm digging your grave? City didn't cut it like the surgery didn't fix your disease. So we're going where the canyons, the forest, through the trees. Good boy, just lay down, put your nose in the wind. Catch your breath before the drugs settle in. Dear companion, the time has come for you to run eternally, because I know the only running you could do that didn't hurt you was in your dreams. Now I put you to sleep in the mountains of Tennessee. The ground's gonna be so cold, we gotta dig deep. We're chipping icy dirt up to our knees, and you're wagging your tail for the last time like a last heartbeat. Oh boy, don't you know I'm digging your grave? Mm-hmm. Oh boy, don't you know I'm digging your grave?
Thanks. One more for you.
Oh, the riches abound. When I stand my ground, I throw my head back and laugh a good laugh with a hard line on my mind. But you will not be crossing again. It was a hard line. It was a hard line to draw deep into, soft earth, and as it gave way, my hands covered in clay in all of its glory and choose. We crawl to the darkness and hide from the light, but it's time to draw the hard line loud and bold, or we'll go quietly into the night. It was a hard line. It was a hard line to draw deep into soft.
Thanks a lot.
Margaret, everybody, when is your next show? Where can people see you again? Nothing's on the books. Could people listen to your music online? This podcast, ladies and gentlemen, is the only way you'll ever hear her in recorded format. Thank you so much. Great job, honestly. It's fantastic. Thanks for coming, everybody, and have a wonderful night.
Follow us on Twitter at YMTE. Friend us on Facebook at facebook.com/youmethemeverybody. And for details on Monday and Tuesday nights at the Hungry Brain, go to youmethemeverybody.com.